Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. Did the rock band AC/DC get it right? I mean, is there a highway to hell? Today, we return to our examination of Bible stories with the goal of hearing them again for the very first time. You see, religion has latched on to the ultimate binary of heaven and hell, and it's used that as a threat to create fear and make converts. But what if there's another framework through which we can see these teachings? In today's broadcast, we import last week's framework of the fake ID to reveal some surprising nuances that will hopefully awaken us from our anesthesia. Join me now as we see beyond the gates and discover the suffering of a living hell which emerges from not knowing our true name. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so glad to have you back for another episode of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among other things. And I'm so glad to have you with me. Welcome to today's program. Welcome to Sunday. I do want to invite you to go to my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. I'll be so happy if you do. Go to Winder's Windshield at kevinwinder.com and sign up today. Well, folks, I love hearing from you, and I love your comments and feedback. Over the last couple weeks, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus from our eight-week series of looking at Bible stories with the hope of hearing them again for the very first time. And we needed to take a little bit of a break to put some cones down, to get a framework, to open up, to expand your perspectives a little bit so that you can see things in a new way. And today we're going back to the Bible stories with the hope of hearing them again for the very first time. And today we're going to consider the parable of the wide and the narrow road, the wide gate and the narrow gate. And today's talk is entitled Gates, Roads, and Authenticity. Gates, Roads, and Authenticity. You know, like I said, last couple of weeks, we've kind of worked our way through a new framework. And that framework allows us to look at Scripture differently. You see, the fake ID, the false self, and the, which is, you know, stands in distinction to the true self, which is what we define as union with God, right? What is heaven if it's not union with God, right? Finding the true self, the true name that was found with God in eternity past, as I really baked out for you in last week's episode, it widens our field of view so that we see spirituality is actually something so much bigger. It's a much bigger consideration than conversion to a religion. And until we're free from our religion's framework, the teachings of Jesus will almost always be misunderstood or, you know, missed at some level. And we take the teachings of Jesus and we actually use them to make another religion, which is quite the opposite of what I think he intended. So let's consider the parable of the gates and the roads found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And there's also a similar passage in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30, which I'm going to allude to a couple times in today's passage. But it's really just a two-sentence piece for you, and this is what it says. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Now, this little framework that Jesus is using is often taught with the backdrop of the huge binary of heaven and hell. And I mean, religions frame heaven and hell as eternal destinations. They frame them as exclusively eternal destinations. I'm not denying that that actually may be the case, but I think more than that, or at least in addition to that, heaven and hell are certainly frames of consciousness. But if we're going to see that, we have to understand that first, religion likes to take these things and leverage the fear of the unknown as a threat, and they use it to gain converts. Not just Christianity, we see this in other religions as well. And the framework that Jesus uses here seems to be nuanced differently. And last week I shared with you the keystone of his framework, right? The thing that makes his different is this: perfect truth can know nothing or no one that is false. Perfect truth can know nothing that is false, right? Perfect light casts out all shadows, so there's no place to hide under perfect light. See, union with God is synonymous with authenticity. It has to be real. It has to be, like in Jesus says, be ye perfect, as I, your Father in heaven, is perfect. That term is authentic, right? So the whole goal here is to find authenticity. And union with God is synonymous. It's the same thing as being authentic. You don't have union with God if you're false, right? Even if you're religious, you don't have union with God. You see, this parable is one of several within a larger Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew's chapter 5-7, is the ultimate reframing sermon. Like, he reframes religion. You know, Jesus comes along and says, you've heard it said, like, you're following the law, but I say to you, he says that 6 times. He reframes it. He says, yeah, your law says this, but I say to you. You see, the goal of his sermon was to really reorient people from a scorecard religion into a faith that was based on inner transformation and this search for authenticity, to know who you really are. Not defined by your religion, not defined by your externals, not defined by everything in your social index, but defined by God. It's a nuanced, and you see how he moved everything in the Sermon on the Mount from the outside to the inside. And this is all part of the framework that he's laying out. Then he goes to the golden rule in verse 13. And it's really a way of awakening our humanity. You see, we must be awake enough to gain the conscientiousness of others. And a lot of us just go through life not seeing anybody but ourselves. And somehow in knowing ourselves and knowing others, we come to know God. And when we possess knowledge of God but not love of others, it just proves that we have this pseudonym, this fake ID, that we don't really know God. But also, we learn in verse 21 and 23 of chapter 7 that God doesn't know us. You see, the whole point is that we need to wake up from the anesthesia of the false self, the false life, the pseudonym, the fake ID, and that waking up process does not come easy. You see, in verse 13, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. And that's the admonition. In Luke 13:24, he says we must strive to enter the gate, the narrow gate. It's going to take some work. You have to put out some effort. You see, these parables are simply just comparisons of how most people live their lives. And he compares how people live their lives by using the metaphor of the gates and the roads, okay? And let's just look at it at face value. A gate is the entry point. It's the on-ramp or the transition period, just before we're well on our way, just as before we're cruising down the road, living our life, doing our thing. See, the gate is the point of decision, where altering course is the easiest. I mean, once you get on the road, you might have to go some distance before you can turn around on that highway, right? I mean, the traffic is moving right along. The off-ramp might be a ways down there. It might be really challenging to turn around. So the gate is a key point of decision. It's the moment of the eternal present moment, right? It's right now, right here. It's today. Today is the only day you can do anything about, right? So we learn also in this little two-sentence parable that the gate is proportional to the road. See, wide gates open to wide roads. Narrow gates open to narrow roads. And wide roads are straighter. The pace is faster. It's congested, but travel is really easy. We see all that in verse 13. But something else we see there, it says that this road leads to destruction. Now, does this mean AC/DC is right? Did they get it right? I mean, is there a highway to hell? Is that what this Bible verse is really teaching? I mean, the term apoleion. Apoleion. And it's really the Greek word for destruction or waste. And too often Christians infer this as a reference to eternal hell, and I can understand why. But considering this road, apago, which means leads away or execute, extends to, deceives, considering that this road, this big wide road, leads away, a better translation is this: the majority of people live their lives asleep because it's easier. But the end is a wasted life, a false life. You see, that is probably a little more accurate to what the intent of Jesus is saying. And I can explain how I got there as we move forward. But he's talking about this big, wide, easy road. And he's just saying most of us just go through life on the easy way, by default. And it ends up wasting our life because we have a false life. Now, the narrow gate by comparison. Remember, this is just a simple comparison on how we live our life. The narrow gate is different. It's like a subway turnstile. If you've ever been to the subways in New York, they have these bars, and you can't just go through. You have to kind of go through these bars and the turnstile. It's like getting into an amusement park or a ball game or something like that. You see, we enter individually on the narrow gate. The wide gate, everybody's on there. Many are traveling along there. But here, we don't go that way. We go one by one and not as a group. Passage is, the Greek term there is thlebo, which means constricted. It means that it's difficult. It crowds in. You know, the wide gate allows us to haul our trailer full of distractions and entertainments and flags of self-importance. We get all of our acrylic trophies from our award ceremonies. They get to come with us. Our 401k goes with us, our zip code, the fancy car we drive, the life we lead, and all the things that make us feel important about ourselves. There's plenty of space on that wide road. But you see, the narrow gate requires that we shed even the smallest little backpack of our attachments. You're not getting through the turnstile with a bunch of stuff. There is nothing on the narrow path that recognizes our fake ID. It's a very stark, single file, self-emptying process that allows us to really wake up to life. You see, it's not a popular option. That's why only a few find it. It defines conventional wisdom. The herd life just numbs us down. We just go with the flow. We do what everybody else is doing. It seems right because the masses are doing it. And that's just the life of the herd. But the stray, the solitary, that's the one who's awakened to life by this struggle to get through the turnstile. Now, last week I showed that the end of everything false is to be burnt up, right? I proved that through Scripture, that anything that is false is ultimately, all the pseudo, their part is the lake of fire. It's all destroyed. It's all burnt. Now, this helps us see that this passage is not the typical binary threat of heaven and hell. Now, while we would do well to get beyond that old fear-based framework, we have to realize we can't diminish the sobriety of the admonition or the teaching within this text, right? This comparison should really wake us up, right? We don't start out on our life hoping to just waste or destroy our lives. You know, we just end up there. And most of us do end up there, wasting our lives. If you look at the world, how many would you say waste most of our lives? It's amazing. So Jesus is right. This is a wide road. And most people pick this way. They end up on this road. And yeah, decisions to turn around are much harder once you're on the way, but it doesn't in anywhere say you can't turn around. In fact, that's the whole point of this admonition, is to wake up, to get off of the free-flowing highway and find yourself on the narrow path. And even our religions, they fail to free us from the false self. Do you realize that? You're not safe just because you subscribe to a religion or because you're super pious or you wind it really tight. You are not free from this teaching. And oftentimes, our religions just create a religious false self. You know, and Matthew goes on to talk about this just verses later in verse 23 of chapter 7. And he depicts all these religious people coming to God and saying, "Didn't we do mighty works in your name? Many religious things in your name." And he simply says, I don't know you. So the glaring truth is that despite what we think about ourselves, most of us are living under a pseudonym, a fake ID. That's another way of saying, in a much more severe way, we are living a lie. Now, a few weeks ago, I taught on the justice of heaven, and I know I ruffled some of your feathers. I got your emails, trust me. And I got your questions, and I've had a many, many really good conversations about it, which I'm thankful for, of course. But let's go back, in a sense, and look at that now, because that same theme is being retold here in the parallel passage in Luke 13, verse 29. Luke is basically saying, after he tells everybody, you know, strive to enter the narrow gate, because he says here in verse 29, he says, "People are going to come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God." And so what Jesus is doing, he's pointing us to global inclusion and not a tribal religion, right? East and west, north and south, he's stretching us to say, look, people of all diversity and various perspectives will be coming together to sit at the table of God. This is a huge place. Now, the qualifying distinction here is not the religion to which we subscribe, but it's the authenticity. It's the knowledge of our true self found in God. Like, do we find ourselves in the presence of God at table, or do we not? You see, the false cannot recline at the table with the truth. The fake ID will not get us through the doorman, so to speak. The pseudonym that we live under will, it's going to want to go in. I mean, the verse is there in Luke. It just says, hey, you're going to be saying, hey, let us in, let us in. But they are not allowed in. Why? Because light cannot have anything to do with darkness. Once the light goes on, darkness is gone. It disappears. It just doesn't exist. Truth is the same reality with falseness. In the light of total truth, there's nothing false that can possibly exist. So the pseudonym is going to want to go in, but it can't. You see, we'll summon up our defenses, right? If we live in the false self, we're going to turn around and justify why we should be allowed in. We're going to say, hey, we did these good things. I went to church all those years. I sang in the choir. I sacrificed. I gave my money away when I could have lived. I took a vocation so that I could be more generous. I did all these things. What do you mean I can't get in? Well, Luke 13, 26 and Matthew 7, 22, it's very clear that all those pleadings and our strategy to look at our works and all of our doing and all of our fake justifications are useless, as so long as we think that we are that false self. Even if we think we are that religious false self, you're not getting it, right? This is not a threat of eternal damnation. But it is a very sobering reminder that being separated from our true self, our true source, is a place of suffering. It is weeping and gnashing of teeth, like it says in verse 28, right? You don't realize that you're suffering when you're on the superhighway of pseudonyms. You don't realize how much suffering you are undergoing, but you are living a living hell. You're trying to accommodate people. You're trying to make a name for yourself. You're striving to get that one thing, that big thing. You're hoping and praying that one day all the ships come in. And the whole time you think you are something and you're not, just like I do. But you see, until that false part finally dies and ultimately burns away, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, we actually have no part of the truth, right? We might have partial truth, but that's not the same as union with God. Think about this, folks. This is a sobering reality. And this is Jesus's point. And while it might be talking about an eternal destination, I'm not going to deny that that's not possible or not baked within this. It's not framed in the binary in the way that we've often interpreted it. But what it does show us, and just like Jesus is always saying, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is among you. It's within you. The temple is now within us, right? The path to life is here. The path to life is right now. That narrow gate is right here. It's right now. It's sitting in this present moment. But so is the superhighway of pseudonyms and wasted life. See, right before you, right now, today, you can find the path to life, or you can just slip right into this traffic of the superhighway of a wasted life. What are you going to do? You're going to just plop and throw on some entertainment, some distraction? Or will you take a few moments and go deeper and find out who you really are? You see, the reason spirituality is so hard is because the false self is so invisible to us. I mean, we latch on to everything under the sun. We exchange our authenticity for a life of externals all the time. Yeah, I mean, think about that. When Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect," it's not perfection in terms of right living and right obedience or making no mistakes. The term really is authentic. He's just saying, be real. Be who you are. Right? And the only way we do that is to know God. So, unfortunately, we just slip into this pattern of exchanging our authenticity, our perfection for a life of externals. Right? I'm not who I really am. I'm just what my business card says. See that VP on there? That's who I am. See, we identify with all the wrong things in life, and we end up not identifying with our maker. Now, isn't that just the very source of idolatry, where we take all of the good things and we turn them into God things, and we miss God because we're all focused on all these other things? We go after good things in wrong ways, and in fact, we miss the true good. It's amazing. But you see, folks, it's not too late to wake up. It's not too late to pull ourselves out of anesthesia. And in actuality, when you look at this process, when you are coming out of anesthesia, you realize that you didn't pull yourself out at all, that you were pulled out. But just like when you're under a sedative, it's hard to wake up, it's hard to focus, it's hard to think straight, it's hard to get your bearings. Even every morning when you wake up, you kind of have to figure out, what's the date today? What day is it? What do I have to do? What time is it? You know, you have to reorient yourself into life. That's what the waking up process is. That's what spirituality actually does. So how do we get there? Let me just ask you to do this. Ask the existential question, who am I? Ask yourself, who am I? Now, the next thing I want you to do, and this is real soul work, even though it may not seem very religious, you're actually doing something extremely profound. After you ask yourself, who am I? Pay really close attention to how you answer. If you start saying, oh, I am this thing I do. I am my occupation. I am my family. I am something else, right? If you define yourself from those things, you need to wake up. That is the superhighway that leads to destruction, that leads to a wasted life. Not that any of those things are bad. They're all very good things. They're God-given things. And they're not wrong to pursue. You just have to surrender the outcomes of pursuing them. After you pay attention to your answer, ask yourself again, is that really me? Is that really me? And just keep asking, who am I? And then pay attention to your answer and then ask, is that really me? How do you keep going? Find a way to keep going. Keep reverse engineering it. And you'll track yourself backwards in life. You'll keep going backwards to a day earlier, a time earlier, a period earlier. Eventually, I hope, you get to a place in eternity past. A place where you find that you that was here, there, before all of this. You see, once you kind of latch on to the fact that there's a part of you that has always existed in the perfect knowledge of God, and that part of you can never be lost if so long as God is omniscient, then if you're able to do that, you will learn your true name. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.